This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Follow the Money. No Mitch and Pauly today. Starting by Tony, Jonathan Von Tobel holding it down in the short term through Wednesday. Then the guys will be back from what's been a very well-deserved vacation post-Super Bowl. Come on, well-deserved is fair. They be working hard. We've been talking about the struggle we've had in this time slot.
It's definitely part of their
contract. We miss our time slot a little bit.
Yeah, it's not the length. I actually like 3 hours, unlike you. My whole thing is, I don't know how you sit around and just wait for the day to get started. This has been pretty wild. But you know what? Love the Follow the Money audience.
Yes, absolutely. And we are live, as always, still from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Got a great show on deck for you today over the course of the next 3 hours, which includes some great guests with all the Olympic hockey that's been going on. We will have Sarah Sivian join the program covering the NHL for a very long time. She is very dialed into everything that's been going on with the Olympics on both the men's side and the women's side. Also, plenty of college basketball on deck. Brian Edwards, handicapper, specializes in the SEC. Going to give us some of his favorite plays. Jerry Palm, well-known bracketologist as well, to get into some of the futures perspective. Who are those one seeds going to be? How about some of these bubble teams? Also, our MLB team previews will continue today with Los Angeles Angels
of Anaheim. Complete the proper title, even though they'll always be the Anaheim Angels to me. Not really. I sent you a picture of a very distressed man smoking a cigarette earlier today when we decided that it was going to be the Angels. That's pretty much it.
I did give you an option, to be fair.
You did, but then Justin was like, Angels. And I was like, okay, I guess we're going to do this here. But yes, we'll preview the Angels, who... I will say this. Am I going to get excited again? I'm not excited. There is intrigue with the Angels. Okay. They could. No, I'm not going to do it. They're going to stink.
Win total set at 70.5. So at least I know your early lean is over. But we will get into all of that a little bit later on.
You'll see why I'm conflicted a little bit later.
How did you enjoy the weekend, by the way? Speaking of conflicted, obviously you are our NBA resident analyst here at the network, and it was All-Star weekend, and there's always a big to-do about what do you think about the game, and is it working? Like,
you broke my thing already.
What?
I told you we weren't going to talk about this. I told you we just move on.
Well, the reason that I asked the question is because we're not doing Call Me Crazy today, and typically on Money Moves on a Monday, we do a segment called Call Me Crazy Button. It's kind of like that overreaction from the weekend. If we had one on the show today, it would have been Call Me Crazy, but I actually kind of liked the All-Star game.
Sure.
I'm assuming you didn't even watch it then.
No, not
really. You've been boycotting.
I watched Kawhi Leonard highlights.
Hey now,
yeah, my
31 points in the one game. Come on.
The dunk, everything.
Our boy.
My guy. I've been through harder times with him.
I went through the good times at San Diego State, been following ever since. We were in college at the same time together. Come on.
I mean, really?
Yeah. A year. But.
Okay. Now, look, the All-Star game, it sounds like, and from what I saw, they hit it on the head. It looked like it was very competitive. Anthony Edwards came out and said that Victor Wembanyama kind of got everything started with the competition and really started to push this thing forward. It was an enjoyable event for the most part. My complaint was Saturday. I didn't realize the three-point contest was going on. I was out and about, and I was like, wait a minute, it's like 3:00 in the afternoon, and Konknipple's already in the final round? So that kind of irritated me because I wanted to watch that. Probably should have checked it. But the actual competition on the floor worked. The slam dunk contest needs to go. The game was fun.
It's just dangerous at this point, apparently.
Yeah, that wasn't really great. But I'm sure someone, because, you know, some media members are very weak-minded and they don't have anything else to talk about. So I'll spend a lot of time talking and complaining about the All-Star game. But I think there's more important things at play.
We did a preview. Say that again?
Sorry, I was just correcting myself.
We did a preview last Friday about the Daytona 500, getting a little bit excited for the Great American Race, the Super Bowl of stock car racing. We ran into our boss, Steve Cohen, on the way in, and he was like just reveling in the moment of everything and then talking to you about that final lap and how crazy it was.
I will never fault anybody for enjoying what they enjoy. We all have our things that interest us quite a bit. Having said that, our boss, Steve Cohen, who is here, so I hope I don't get in any trouble.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
From what I understand, is like big on hockey, big on NASCAR, some weird things.
So we had a great show on Friday in our boss's eyes.
We were doing really well the other day, and I think we heard that as well, too. But no, you're right. I mean, I was just checking in periodically to see it. It's the one thing that I'm trying to get into a little bit more. I will not make my resolution that I will bet on every NASCAR event. I did have a hot stretch where I was I remember the year of Eric Almirola. He had like a stretch of like six races of top tens. It was probably around COVID, which is why I kind of got into it, because there really wasn't anything else going on. But I thought we had some good analysis. And I think it worked out, and it seemed to be a pretty entertaining race.
And we talked about how at times this has been a race for long shots because of some of the chaos that happens, and that's what ultimately gets home with Tyler Reddick winning this thing a 40-1 shot, avoiding a pair of those late crashes and the late chaos. Was actually the runner-up last year, didn't lead this thing for like the entirety of it until that final lap. So a really cool win there. Another big long shot ends up cashing on the links as well. When we look at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and what Colin Morikawa was able to do late in this one, a 60-1 shot. He gets his first win on the PGA Tour in a couple of years, finally breaks the drought there, which was exciting. So, I mean, overall, like a sports weekend goes between the Olympics and the stuff that we had, I thought it was a pretty entertaining weekend.
It was. And I wanted to bring this up about the, about Pebble Beach, because I thought this was very interesting. Obviously Colin Morikawa gets it done here, 22 under for the tournament, ends up winning the whole thing. Scottie Scheffler.
Oh yeah.
So Scottie Scheffler finishes tied for fourth, finishes his tournament with a Sunday in which he shoots a 63. I mean, I saw Kelly Bidlin, I think, tweeted this out over the weekend. It was Scottie Scheffler to win 125-1, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I think Kelly tweeted out like, "Yeah, why not?" And then you make it, then he makes this ridiculous run. And so my whole thought here is, Even in the weeks in which he is not performing well, if he gets off to the slow start, shoots a 72 on Thursday, I mean, but in tournament, once you get there, top fives, whatever, top tens, you got to keep looking at this guy. It's unbelievable.
But do you think that the last 2 weeks and the way it's played out with Scottie Scheffler, slow starts and late surges, that sportsbooks are even going to adjust to the in-game betting on him? Because everything I was seeing on social media was massive liability on Scottie Scheffler as he's got the climb back. Because, I mean, he was 13 strokes back after Friday.
He was. And I would say I think the adjustment is there to an extent already, just because, well, he is such a highly rated golfer.
Sure.
That, you know, you see it, I'll make the comparison in basketball games or in football games, where even when the big favorites are trailing, they are still favored or the price is shorter. And you would look at it and go, well, my team's up by like, you know, 17 points. Why is this only a 1.5 point spread or whatever it is? Because you understand that over the course of the long, like the longer this goes on, the more likely it is that my guy is going to be able to get to the top or at least make an effort to get up there. So I think it's probably priced in there to an extent. But to your whole point here, they are going to be, I think, gun-shy is probably not the right term, but very sensitive to things that come in on Scottie just because of his ability to rip off rounds like he did on Sunday.
We do have some live hockey going on right now, the Switzerland and Canadian women going head-to-head, and it was kind of a crazy first period in that it was scoreless. And the Canadians, massive favorite in this one, closed around minus 8,000, Switzerland 22-1. Canada is currently up 1-0. They scored early here in the second period.
Oh, let's get it on.
The shot disparity right now, the Canadians out shooting the Swiss 21-1 where things sit right now. When these two played in the prelims, Canada won 4-0. Their captain, who I know we've talked about a lot last week, Marie-Philippe Poulin, she is back. She came back on Saturday. So what are the live numbers? Hit me with it when you pull them up.
Sorry.
But this is, it just feels like another one of those potential opportunities to get in live. The Canadian women were laying such a big number. It was a slow starting game. And do you think they could go scorched earth?
How big is this gap in your mind between these two teams?
I still think that they...
It's -3.5, -135.
I think that's doable. I would prefer it to have been 2.5, but when they closed 4.5, I get why they're not.
But I don't,
when they closed 4.5 point favorites, -8,000.
Four and a half
goal favorites.
What is it? First time with hockey?
I meant to say puck line favorites. Excuse moi. We also have a result in.
All right, I'm in. I mean, we gotta keep the trend going, do we not?
Maybe. I'm not doing it, but I appreciate you doing it. I do have a couple bets already that I've made for the men's qualification round, which we'll discuss a little bit later on. We do have another, though, real quickly, result in pocket for the women, though. Team USA earlier this morning, they were laying 4.5 on the puck line against Sweden. They went in a 5-0 shutout. This was a game, JVT, that was eerily similar to the one that we were sweating out on Friday here, where Team USA was facing the Italians. It was a slow starting game. That's exactly what played out here, where they didn't have any goals to show for it early on. They have this crazy, like ton of goals scored in the second period, and then nothing happens in the third period once again. The goal total for the game was 5.5. It ends up being a 5-0 game after they put up 4 in the second period, just because that's just what's happening in Team USA hockey games apparently now.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, look, we've talked about the stupidity of hockey in a loving way, and the fact that, and I mean, this Olympics has been the perfect example of why I call it that. You look at the games that we have watched here while we've been on the air, and the fact that you can dominate time of possession, shots on goal, all those sort of things. I would assume the high danger chances are pretty high up there as well, and still be in some of these tight contests because of just the nature of the sport. I mean, we're watching a lot of these, especially with the women. You see the talent gap. It's insane. They're skating circles around these other girls. So you feel pretty confident that when you're like live betting these, like we're doing here, that you're probably going to get to the side that you need to, only because the talent discrepancy is so high in some of these.
Something we talked about with Mike Palm last week here on Follow the Money was not to bet Team USA in the to win gold market and wait and see what we were going to see when Team USA inevitably faces Canada in the gold medal game. And I'm very curious to see what that line ultimately is going to be when it comes out. I do want to play Team USA in it. It's obviously going to be price dependent, so to see what that looks like. They have outscored their opponents so far here in the Olympics, JVT, 31-1. They enter the gold medal game on a 5-game shutout. The one goal they gave up was early in the second period of their first game. So more than 16 periods of shutout hockey that they have played, which included against the Canadians. And again, they didn't have their captain in that game. But when you look at what Team USA has done to Canada since November in the now 5 head-to-head matchups they have had, outscored them 29-7 in those games, winning all of them by at least 3. So I don't know what the number is going to be yet, but I am already targeting Team USA. I'm curious what the puck line is going to be. I'm curious what the money line is going to be. The gold medal game, and again, we don't know what this final result is going to be, although as I say that, Canada scores once again. It is Marie-Philippe Poulin who has both of them now up 2-0 where we sit. That gold medal game will be Thursday morning, and obviously once we know the prices, we'll let you know. We got to step aside. When we come back, let's dip our toes into the college basketball waters for a moment. We told you last week about a big injury for North Carolina, and apparently they're just piling up across the sport with marquee players going down. We'll tell you who next when we return.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We told you about the Caleb Wilson injury for North Carolina last Friday, and a couple more significant injuries in college hoops. They are piling up over the weekend for nationally ranked programs. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back here on Follow the Money. Koa Pete for the top ranked Arizona Wildcats and Richie Saunders for BYU. Both of them going down. Still curious the extent of what this is going to be for Pete in Arizona, but maybe let's start there as they have been the top-ranked team in the country. How significant is this?
I mean, it's very big, especially when you look at a team like Arizona who, if he cannot play this week, this will be the first time that they don't use the same starting five all year long. Mm-hmm. So the continuity has been very important for Arizona. Under Tommy Lloyd, there's been injuries in the past that have derailed the season a little bit as well. So it's a pretty big deal if he cannot go. Obviously, past the actual statistical impact, 13.8 points, 5.4 rebounds, 2.6 assists, shooting over 54% from the floor for the Wildcats as well. Via our friends over at CBB Analytics, a plus 10.8 net differential. So in other words, he improves their net rating by 10.8 points every 100 possessions out there on the floor. He's a massive force for Arizona. And especially, I mean, it comes at the worst time, right? Because now you're starting to slide a little bit here. And you have people questioning, like, well, I'm going to first sign. This team stinks. And like, look, it's hard to go undefeated. It's a very difficult conference as well. I think that there's a little bit more at play here. But either way, this comes at the worst time. Remember, another player missed with illness this last game as well. So all of a sudden, you could be down two guys when you're looking at a team that was nearly perfect from a health standpoint all throughout the year.
Yeah, and this injury aside was something that we were talking about with Arizona regardless, just due to the point of the schedule that they're at right now in Big 12 play. They lose that game to Kansas. They obviously lose as a big favorite to Texas Tech. And now you have number 23 BYU up on deck, which we'll talk about them in a moment with an injury of their own that's impactful for a team that has already been, I think it's fair to say, struggling. Yeah. For a team that we wanted to buy in on and just haven't been able to. Then they've got at Houston Saturday, at Baylor, against Kansas again, and Iowa State to round out their next five games. This is a very tough portion of the Arizona Wildcats schedule.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I think they're good enough that they're going to be able to overcome it. There is, and they, I guess they were for a while, a perfect team, but they are not a perfect team. One of the things I think you would like to see, they are 363rd in the country in three-point attempt rate. I think you'd like to take a few more three-point attempts. They're floating around 35, 36% from beyond the arc. So the fact that you don't take a ton and you're floating around a pretty average mark from beyond the arc for a college team, those are things that I think kind of bother you as well for this group. But they're just so good in transition, mm-hmm. Stormy. They're so good on defense. They're going to be able to win some games here in the NCAA tournament. I think we tend to think the sky is falling for the most part when these teams start to take a couple of hits. And you alluded to it. I mean, the schedule is tough, but it's like two teams that desperately need to stop us. BYU's not on a skid, but to kind of get right.
Yeah.
And they will meet each other on Wednesday.
Well, let's go there because Richie Saunders tore his ACL like 45 seconds into the game. Yeah. It was right away. He's been having a career year, averaging highs in points, rebounds, assists, and steals, shooting 37.6% from three. And he is another key cog to everything that they try to do offensively.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty important here when you're talking about what Saunders brings to the table. So, go ahead.
I guess, like, just not just that, but, like, how much now with his absence is that going to put pressure on A.J. DeBonta and Wright? And, like, what does this look like now?
The way that I look at it is it's not even so much because it will put more. You know, you got to take some more shots around. You got to spread those out. He's averaging 18 points, shooting over 48% from essentially 50% from the floor and 37% from three. My real question is, this has been a team that has really struggled on defense over the last 10 games. And it's not like Saunders is some shutdown defender from what I have seen, but he is a good offensive player. And if you're going to play bad offense or you're going to play bad defense, you need to at least supplement it with some sort of high-end offense. And so now if you're going to continue to play some very subpar defense and now your offense is going to take a hit, that's where I think you start to really worry here. Over the last 10 games for BYU, they're 5-5 straight up. They're 1-9 against the spread. Their defensive rating has been 120.6. That ranks in the 11th percentile. These numbers, again, courtesy of our friends over at CBB Analytics. Check them out at cbbanalytics.com. Like, this has been a brutal stretch for BYU on defense. So now all of a sudden, if you're going to continue down that path, but also your offense takes a hit, I think that's what you're really worried about. Because I think we've seen now, especially since we've gotten into conference play, I think this team is somewhat limited defensively.
Yeah. There have been so many times where I have, like, okay, BYU is going to stop the bleeding. This is a good number for them to be able to get a cover, get off the mat. Nope, haven't been able to do it.
I was just going to say, look at their two wins, right? Yeah. 90-86, 99-94. Yeah. I mean, they're not even, they're winning these games, but they're still just getting gouged on defense.
Speaking to all of these injuries, I suffered an injury yesterday.
What happened?
I was at an arcade.
Okay.
And I was playing that game where you throw the ball at the little, like, clown heads and they, like, fall down. I think I, like, pulled or strained something in my bicep.
By throwing little red balls at the clowns in
yes,
the arcade?
Yes, because then I tried to play skee ball after that, and my arm was just, you pick up the little skee ball, and it was so heavy. I was like, something's really
the
wrong with me.
The skee ball was heavy. You know what's funny? Not to carry, I'm not doing this on purpose, I swear to God. So I suffered an injury over the weekend as well, and I thought it was embarrassing until you just told
me that.
What
was your
story.
Injury? What happened?
I tweaked my back deadlifting.
Well, that's not embarrassing. That happens to a lot of people.
Yeah, but a back injury is like an old man thing. You know what I mean?
I'm worried if I actually did really injure this thing, that my two most significant injuries of my adult life have tearing my meniscus from standing up from the floor and then potentially a bicep injury from throwing a small ball at clowns.
There's no way. You still feeling it's, something?
I put like a heating pad on it last night and everything before I went to bed.
I think the lesson here is that you might need a little bit more physical activity in your life.
Okay, thanks for that. Well, now that football season's over, I think
Skee ball.
I should do more, but now I don't want to lift any weights because I'm in pain. I try to lift up my water bottle, and it's like, even this is, doesn't feel good.
That's very fat. I'm fascinated by that.
We do have, on that note, a big Monday in college basketball today. I know we're going to talk more about, like, teams on the bubble and all of that. We'll get into bracketology throughout the course of the day, but three of the top six teams in the country are playing today. The big one, which could be one of the best games of the year, potentially, Houston and Iowa State going head to head, number two v number six. Cyclones lost that weird game at TCU, but likely a look ahead spot to the game that was Saturday against Kansas, a game they win 74-56. Iowa State, meanwhile, winners in six of their last seven, covered in five of those, short spread with two really good teams. What do you make of it?
I mean, I lean toward Houston here a little bit. I mean, here's the thing, and I espouse this when we talked about the Kansas game, but ultimately Iowa State ended up getting there and really just beating the tar out of them. But when we have seen Iowa State at its weakest points, it's been when its offense has been forced to slow down and it plays a little bit more half-court centric. Obviously, you look at the three losses and the common thread there is averaging less than a point per possession in those contests. And that, to me, is something that can happen here when you take on Houston. But Iowa State is very good. And you do wonder if, okay, if they're going to play their game, how would it be? Well, they're going to force a bunch of turnovers. Problem is, Houston is second best in the country in offensive turnover rate. So they're not really, at least you would think, not going to force a ton of turnovers here because Houston does take care of the ball very well. I think maybe what gets Houston potentially, they are very much a jump shooting team. They rank 364th in the country in average two-point attempt distance. They rank 357th in the country in free throw rate. They don't get to the rim. They don't get to the line. And so in some of these games where you're going to have maybe some disjointed performances, I think maybe that's what could get you in a road environment potentially. But I trust Houston a lot defensively.
The only thing that concerns me about Houston is the lack of being really tested the last handful of weeks, with the exception of what a BYU team that we just said has played subpar to this point.
And then your game. Was like a month ago.
Yeah. Well, that's the one game that they've lost in since November, essentially, is that game at Texas Tech in Lubbock.
You were stuck there for a month.
I was stuck there for a very long trust me. We'll never forget that glorious long weekend that I spent in Lubbock, Texas. That said, you're much more analytical, and I found myself having to bring numbers to support a lot of my arguments with you. But I'm much more of a vibes player, and the vibes are just telling me Houston +3 feels good. And I like a money line sprinkle, I have a good feeling about Houston. Can't wait for them to crash and burn now that I said it. But you mentioned their defense. I mean, both of these teams are top 5-6 in defensive rating in the country, which leads to another argument that you might want to get to. It is a lower total game, 134.5. But I was just looking through recent games for these guys. Total in Houston's games, falling under the total in 5 straight and 10 of the last 13. Iowa State, 3 straight unders, 9 of their last 13 have also gone under. These have both been very defensive-minded under teams in recent history.
Yeah. I also think, to the point of this matchup too, Houston's got the ball handlers to, I think, really help with some of the pressure that they're going to face to not turn the ball over as much, as I think it's why they rank so well in terms of turnover rate on offense. So I would agree. I mean, I think that this play tonight here for Houston, we'll see what the market wants to do with it as we get closer to tip off. I think that'll be the other interesting question is where does it ultimately get played? But saw this open some spots, 1.5, 2.5, it's 3 here at Circa. So maybe that'll be the point where it stops, but it got to 3 and hasn't really moved since.
Also, Duke in action today, #3 ranked team in the country, hosting Syracuse. Big spread here, 20.5, total 144.5. Duke's only losses in the season at UNC a couple of weeks ago at the buzzer, and a 1-point loss on a neutral to Texas Tech back in December. They have been very good. Coming off the win against Clemson, never really in doubt, but could this be a look-ahead spot for the Blue Devils? I think that's the one thing that you look at with the scheduling spot against a team where you're such a big favorite, knowing you've got Michigan on deck.
Yeah, and then Syracuse maybe trying to claw their way into the bubble watch here, potentially. You get a win over Cal in double overtime. You beat SMU. If you could pull this off, obviously, it's a quad one win for you that'll do very well toward the resume. But I would doubt it. 20.5, though, does seem like a relatively big number considering where some of the projections are at.
All right. On that note, we got to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, are we still 2-0 right now for your Canadian women?
We are.
All right. So we're going to sweat out JVT's laying 3.5 goals in that game.
Another power play for the Swiss.
About a period and a quarter left to go. When we come back, we are going to get into some hockey. Excited to have Sarah Sivian join the program. Been covering the NHL for a long time. Very dialed in on everything that is going on in Milan right now. So don't go anywhere. More Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Story by Antoni and Jonathan Von Tobel in for Mitch and Paul. As we welcome you back to Follow the Money, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. The Olympics have had us all in a chokehold the last couple weeks, especially on this program when it comes to the Olympic hockey on the men's and women's side. On the men's side, we know the bracket is set. The qualifying round beginning tomorrow, followed by the quarterfinals. Meanwhile, for the women, one semifinal in the books. We know Team USA will be playing in the gold medal game, and you just cheered. So does that mean something good happened for Team Canada?
Yeah, because Switzerland finally got into the penalty box here. You know, my Canadian women have been sent to the box 3 straight times now, I think. And it's finally time for a little retribution. So power play for the Canadians.
All right. to continue this hockey conversation, I'm very excited to have longtime National Hockey League writer Sarah Sivian join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. You can check out her work at the Civ Report, Bleacher Report, recently doing more work like us in the betting world as well with Bet Rivers, host of the Too Many Men podcast. Sarah, I know you've been keeping tabs on this Canadian game as well. They've been JVT's Canadian women for all the last 10 minutes after he placed a live bet on them. But what should our expectation be the rest of the way for Team Canada here?
Yep. I mean, I think it's probably safe to say they're going to end up in the gold medal game as we all anticipated to begin with and wanted. But I don't know if we anticipated it like this with USA having such an upper hand.
If you look at the matchup, and we don't want to assume anything here, but what is, what's your last, Pauline?
Yeah.
She didn't play in the first matchup against Team USA, Sarah. Why is that such a big difference? I asked Stormy, like, how does one player in a sport like hockey make such a big difference for the Canadians? Looks way different since that game.
I mean, yes, I think she's their brave leader. She has been through. So this is where we criticize decisions from a lot of brass, whether it be Team USA, women's or men's, when it comes to certain decisions where they opt for veterans over maybe the younger up and coming players that could potentially score a few more goals or what have you. I think having a tried and true veteran is somebody, it gets the whole team in line. I mean, it's kind of the reason Team Canada men's has an advantage of Sidney Crosby. Like, maybe he's not the electric player that he was in his prime, but I'm not counting him out. But at the same time, it's like you need that veteran presence. And the international stage, people always say it's bigger than you think it is. So someone like her, she's a veteran. She's still got it. And she's in that sweet spot where she really makes things happen. But at the same time, USA is better than they've ever been.
Well, so with that in mind, obviously, as JVT was alluding to, she was not on the ice for the 5-0 Team USA win in the preliminary round. If we do get that gold medal game, as we expect, like, what do you think the difference is going to be with her on the ice against Team USA? If you think Team USA is as dominant as they've been against Canada in the last now 5 meetings that they've played since November, how many goals do you think they can win by? Like, what's your feel for that game?
Right. I think it's going to be much, much harder, and not just because of her, but also because of, listen, Team Canada has been so dominant in these Olympics. What was it? 44 games, they've never been shut out, and then Team USA shuts them out. And also, they've only not won gold 3 times, and each time it was Team USA. I don't think it's going to be a 5-0 shutout, and I think there was probably some strategy when it comes to MPP sitting out the first game, right? Like, these are the prelims, and they've seen how these games tend to go, and maybe it's even a little bit of an intimidation factor. If we're talking betting, like, I wouldn't say the puck line, like, is more than 1.5. I do think USA is going to win, and I think it's their year, and they've been so dominant because of goaltending, all these shutouts. But I also think it's a little mental game where I think that Canada could maybe knows how to, if anybody knows how to knock them off their game, it's going to be Team Canada.
Hockey writer, analyst, host of the Too Many Men podcast, Sarah Sivian, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. How much in your mind does it also feel like we're on a collision course for Canada, Team USA on the men's side of things? And does it feel like it's a little bit of a reverse, though, where Canada is going to be the more dominant of the two?
Definitely. And honestly, you can't really blame Team USA. It's just been, I think this is the best iteration of Team USA there's ever been. And I kind of respect GM Bill Guerin's way of saying, hey, listen, we don't have Connor McDavid. We don't have Nathan MacKinnon. We don't have Sidney Crosby. We don't have Macklin Celebrini. And we don't have that history. So let's lean into what we do have, right? And that's the best defense of any team internationally. So they really kind of went for the defense aspect with this team. And obviously they had the clunker with Jeremy Swayman in net last game, 2 games ago. But they're kind of back. They decided that Hellebuck's their guy, and he's been playing really well. So I think kind of the leading defense first, it's good to lean into that. But like at the same time, you look at this Team Canada offensive roster, and that just feels inevitable. Like it's McDavid, MacKinnon, and Crosby. You just can't really get past that.
If they were not to meet at the end of this tournament, who is the team that would upend either one of these? Who would be the fly in the ointment for the men's Olympic bracket if it was not either Canada or Team USA?
That's Right. I would think maybe Finland at the beginning, but they had that big clunker in the beginning. Sweden's defense and its depth, I think, it would really give anybody on an off day, right? If your goaltender has an off day, I think Team Sweden could be a pain in the butt to play against. I don't know if they'd, I don't think any team's beating USA or Canada, but I think Sweden could give them like a pain in the butt.
Meanwhile, and that's kind of what I was going to ask you, because as far as the way this draw goes, kind of a tough beat here for Team USA, having to likely face Sweden coming out of the bracket after we expect them to beat Latvia, that this was a Sweden team that was favored to win Group B, has all of these like really high-level NHLers on it, and you would expect as the two seed that you would get a little bit more of a favorable opponent, but it's not looking like it.
Right. It's kind of weird, and I know the women's tournament like bracket situation was a little bit different, and that's why USA and Canada faced off in the first place, but that ended up being a little more fair. So I think you're totally right with kind of the weirdness of that happening, right? Like it's giving them not a favorable opponent when they kind of earned it.
Any of these qualification round games interest you at all? Germany and France, Italy, Switzerland, Czechia, Denmark, Sweden, Latvia, as we mentioned, that you have a strong opinion on?
I mean, I think Sweden could make some noise, right? And then I think Czechia has been, it's so hard when two teams are so dominant. But I think Sweden, if anyone's going to make it out of there, it's Sweden.
Yeah. And they are
Latvia.
Go ahead.
It's like, I think Latvia is just not strong enough. So I think that matchup really favors Sweden when it comes to defense. Like Latvia's scorers are really not there. So I think how stout Team Sweden's defense is, like that could be a pretty strong performance.
Yeah, Sweden laying 2.5 on that puck line. The Czechia game, as you mentioned as well, they're laying 1.5. They've been one of the more disappointing teams, at least for me as somebody who bet them to have a medal. Yeah. Not going great. I did want to shift gears though for the last couple minutes, Sarah, and talk a little NHL with you, because I know prior to the Olympic break, you did a write-up of, you know, one word for each team. And one of them was a team that you covered for a long time in the Carolina Hurricanes, and you put businesslike and how good they are as a regular season team year after year. The big struggle, though, is can they get over the hump once they get to the conference final, and can they make a Stanley Cup? Could this be the year, or is it another team that we need to stay away from when it comes to betting some of these postseason markets?
Right. I mean, Brandon Bussey, they just signed an extension with him today. I think he's been such a revelation of a goaltender in net, which, like, I know, and they still have depth in net other than him, but they needed that kind of, like, sparky option, so I really like that. I like the fact that if you look at the field, it's like the Panthers aren't going to be their like big brother anymore. They might not even make the playoffs, right? So that's one thing. And I think that kind of mental block, it could be great for them to overcome. But at the same time, they've always dried up and scored kind of like Team USA. It's just like they have that great defense and they always have that great structure and they're always business-like in the regular season. They make it to that event and then the scoring just dries up. So I really need them to prove me wrong this year. But hey, last year they finally won an Eastern Conference game, which is just ridiculous. They hadn't since 2006, even though they had like made it to this Eastern Conference final so many times. So I think maybe that could be a big breakthrough moment. And like, listen, if there's any time to do it in this window, it's when the Panthers aren't like vicious.
20 seconds. If you can, who wins the Pacific Division?
Wow. This is like the worst of the worst. It's brutal to watch this. I mean, let's see what Panarin does at the Kings, right? But yeah. I think the Oilers will prevail, as much as I hate to say it. Like, they don't have much competition. Oh, you know what? Okay, Golden Knights. I'll just say Golden Knights. I don't know if I...
You got to decide. You got to decide. Right? You got to put the hammer down. You got to pick one.
No, Sarah, I'm going to cut you off here. You said the right answer already. It's Edmonton.
It's Golden Knights, but it's not fair. It's not fair. They keep losing in overtime, and I'm mad about it, but they're going to win.
Sarah, you're awesome. Thank you so much for the time and insight. We appreciate you.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Vegas is -235, but they are only Edmonton only 4 points back right now, +550 the price on the Oilers if you want to give them a shot. Appreciate
+270.
Sarah giving us her time. Follow her on X at Sarah Civy, and make sure you check out the Civ report. We'll be right back on Follow the Money. Win some, lose some after the break.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Pauly, still got a couple days of vacation. You're stuck with us. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back here on Follow the Money. Let's start with the Win Some. Starting out there at Pebble Beach, how about Colin Morikawa? 60-1 shot cashing there for his first win on tour since 2023.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Has some ties out here as well in Vegas. So do enjoy when Colin Morikawa gets it done with a very strong performance and staving off the monsters that were behind him, including Scottie Scheffler here, who made a big run.
Yeah, as I was saying, good for bettors and bad for the books probably on this one. Scheffler sat as many as 13 strokes off the lead Friday, entered Sunday 8 back, played his first 7 holes, 7 under. He has not, JVT, finished outside the top 10 since last year's Players' Championship.
Absolutely insane, especially if you laid those prices pre-tournament, yep. And then he comes back in. It's not even the live, but the fact that he actually got there on Sunday, and you were probably sitting on something going, man, I laid this price, I'm screwed. And yet he's unstoppable, man. Post-Ravioli cut, he is absolutely continuing his dominance.
Or something like that. Meanwhile, out there at Daytona, Tyler Reddick wins the 500, 40-1. He only led the final lap of the race, fourth time in Daytona 500 history, that's happened. Redemption for last year as well, where he finished second 0.113 seconds behind the winner. Snaps what was a 38 race winless streak. Also in the NBA, more fun than we expected. All-Star weekend, Anthony Edwards cashes 10-1 for All-Star MVP. 32 points, 9 boards, 3 assists across the 3 games as the Stars beat up on the Stripes in the final game. Something I know you were not excited about, Damian Lillard winning the 3-point contest. Definitely a winsome considering the dude has not played a single game in the NBA this year, recovering from a torn Achilles.
Oh, absolutely phenomenal. I mean, look, you're referencing the fact that I had Con Knipple to win this thing, but good story for Damian Lillard, the fact that he was able to get it done. We'll talk about Devin Booker coming up here in a little bit, but I don't know if you saw, did you see the Instagram post from Damian Lillard on his story?
I did not.
He is recruiting all the elite old head shooters. So him, Steph Curry, a couple other names I'm forgetting, but it sounds like we're going to get all the big boys for the 3-point contest next year.
Well, and you see there on the Win Some graphic, Steph already saying that he's going to do it. He will compete in the 3-point competition next year. Meanwhile, in college hoops, we talked about this a little bit earlier already. How about Texas Tech +385 with the upset win at top rank Arizona, 78-75 in overtime. Iowa State bet out from 6 to 7.5-point favorites against Kansas. They get the win 74-56. Georgia women's basketball give it up for the 6-1 win against top number 5 ranked Vanderbilt. Close one, 76-74, but they get it done. And then out there in hockey last night, Team USA covering the puck line, laying 3.5 against Germany in a 5-1 win there. Meanwhile, this one, and we have a couple layers to this. Slovakia getting the win in Group B, 16-1. They did so, scoring a late goal against Sweden in a 5-3 loss. The Swedes tried to pull their goalie to get a goal back, could not because of goal differential in the group that they were trying to do. So they didn't get, so even though they lose the game to Sweden, they win the group. More on that in a moment. Get to lose some here. NBA All-Star Dunk Contest. I mean, that's got to be top of the list, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's dead. This is also the prevailing question for many in basketball. All the dunks have been done, correct? In terms of the dunks that you can create physically with your body, what other dunks are there to be done in an NBA dunk contest?
We've already jumped over people. We're jumping over objects.
Cars.
We've done all that. What else is there to do?
Yeah. And then Jackson Hayes. I don't know what that was.
And at least it would be cool if you see some of the best players in the sport that are jamming, doing something fun. But we're not even getting that.
Yeah, I mean, so look, man, sometimes it's time to just, you know, put it out to pasture. And I think that's it. I keep hearing like, oh, just get rid of it and then bring it back in like 3 or 5 years if people want it. I don't think anybody watches. Who cares? Yeah.
So back to Group B here real quickly for Lose Some in men's hockey, as far as the group play went in the Olympics. This is only a lose some for me and anyone else that bet Finland plus 140. And this is because I'm an idiot. And I was texting you extremely excited.
You were.
Extremely excited over the weekend because Finland was crushing Italy. They end up winning that game 11-0. And I haven't been listening to like a lot of the audio of the broadcast. I just knew basic rules that if there was a three-way tie, goal differential is what's going to decide it. And of course, I see the team I bet going ham on Italy in the final game. 11 goal differentials in their favor. It's goal differential amongst the three teams, and I didn't realize that. And so I'm a loser, baby. Why don't you kill me? Slovakia ends up getting the group 16-1. So lose some on Finland, unfortunately. In college basketball, Florida bet out from 10.5 to 13 against Kentucky. Win, but do not cover. 92-83 there. Same thing UConn, with UConn here. Like, bet out big from 15.5 to 17.5 point favorites against Georgetown. Only win by 4?
I don't think I'm worried about them, but yeah, the market really likes UConn. We talked about them quite a bit, and they're a team that has had some trouble covering numbers consistently. They're getting it done, but the market clearly has an inflated sense of what UConn is at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were talking earlier about how BYU can't seem to cover UConn in the exact same boat here, laying some big numbers as well. Virginia out from 4.5 to 6.5 over the weekend at Ohio State. They only win by 4 as well, so just on the cusp of what that opening number was, but even that doesn't get there. And BYU from 13.5 to 16 against Colorado lose their best player, and they only win the game by 4, so no cover on the big spread. How about this for a lose some? Let's throw up the video. Popcorn machine mayhem delaying the Oklahoma-Georgia game. Look at a fire at the concessions, JVT. At least it smelled good, right?
I mean, burnt popcorn doesn't really smell that good. How did this happen? Did we get information as to, like, was it an electrical fire? Did somebody just cook the popcorn too long?
Maybe
also, you can't, I mean, nah, never mind.
Too much butter, overheating, I don't know.
I don't want to be selfish. I was going to say, you can't keep playing basketball.
What do you mean?
I mean, you said it got the game got delayed,
didn't
it?
Delayed? It didn't get postponed.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you can play through the fire. It's like the building's on fire. It's just like
they want to make sure that the building doesn't catch on fire. Have some care for your fellow man.
Oddly enough, you know, the butterfly effect of this popcorn machine being lit on fire has led to a fireable offense here at the Vegas Stats and Information Network because Justin Emery, our producer, has unveiled to us that he believes popcorn is not a good snack.
Unbelievable.
And it is an S-tier snack beyond all measure.
Strong disagree.
A ridiculous take.
He said, what makes it elite then? Because it's certainly not taste or texture.
I don't even know what to say.
Excuse me? Like, what is your preferred type of popcorn?
I mean, I like just regular buttered popcorn, but a sneaky good one is with a little tahini on it. It's very good.
I like doing, like, at the movie theater, like, extra butter on the popcorn. Yeah. Then you mix in some, I don't know, Reese's Pieces or something to do the salty, sweet situation.
Its versatility is one of its strengths.
Absolutely.
It's on the Mount Rushmore of snacks. There's no question about it.
Another lose sum. So my boy Victor Hovland bet for a top 20. That's not the lose sum that he was terrible. Went viral over the weekend for a couple of reasons. First, it was the video surfacing of him wearing the arm floaties at the range. And then look at this, trying to knock the ball out of a tree on 18 by throwing his umbrella at it. His umbrella gets caught in the tree. Just a lose sum all around.
Yeah, that's tough. It does remind me of, you know, playing in the park when you were a kid and like a ball got stuck in the tree. So then you would get another ball to get the ball out. And then that ball got stuck. And then you were just kind of in a tough situation. I did not feel like it. It was one of those times where I was scrolling through social media. I saw the water wings and I was like, I don't think I have the bandwidth for this. So I just kept scrolling. What was the story?
Made me feel great as somebody who bet him this weekend. That was last week, though.
Oh, okay. All right.
That the water wings thing. That
I
must have
missed that, though.
But the video only surfaced this week. And
right. So what was
but
the
it was
story?
From him at the range, just trying to like make sure his arms were in good position, apparently.
Right.
As a small child, as an infant out there, people bet money on this stuff, Victor.
Very true.
Be better. To the bad beats, we go here. You mentioned it. Devin Booker to win 3-point contest 7-1.
I mean, you go to the final rack and you need to hit three to win this, to tie it 4 and then to win it. And then all of a sudden, what does he do? He hits his first two and then immediately just misses his last three. Actually started red hot 9 of 10. You thought he was going to nail them all and had a chance at it, but ultimately fell short. Last few racks were really ugly. Got really hot and all of a sudden fell off. And how about that? Kawhi Leonard, all-star MVP, 18-1, 31 points in a game winner, moving the USA stripes onto the championship against the USA Stars. The monster dunk as well. My man can't win MVP. They're not there unless it's him.
Although,
he was unreal, dude.
Collapse in the final game, though. Like, what are you supposed to do? And after being able to not miss a shot, it felt like in that game prior, nobody could do anything in the next one. Was minus 220 live at one point, ends up losing.
I think that there was a conspiracy theory. I think Adam Silver didn't want to give Kawhi Leonard the MVP because of everything going on with the aspiration and allegations of pay under the table. And so he told the media, don't vote for him.
And last but certainly not least here, the Team USA women facing Sweden earlier today. Goal total 5.5. 5 goals scored through 2 periods, including a 4th spot in the second. Stays under 5-0, your final score there. Nothing doing in the final frame. It's the exact same situation we saw on Friday against the Italians.
That worked for us.
That said, yes, it did. As we talk about all of the basketball that's going on right now, College Hoops March Madness is going to be here before you know it. This is the time of year where real bettors can find that edge. Dozens of games a night, constant line movement, and opportunity for those who know where to look. If you're not going to beat billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own, but get this, with the Sharp Plays, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected to insider sources, the Sharp Plays highlights sharp action, key numbers, market shifts, and more. Before the public catches up, you get free daily reports, real-time alerts, public logs, and transparent results since 2011. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Own the boards this college basketball season at SharpPlays.com. Okay, you hear that music? We got to step aside real quickly. Kicking off hour 2 of Follow the Money after this. Back in a flash on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.